Progressive Metal has a new team in its corner. Mark Anthony Rossi and John Patrick Robbins are music critics of a mighty but misunderstood rock genre. Walk with us into the metal future.
Hi, folks. This is Mark Anthony Rossi with Strength to Be Human. As you know, we have a sideshow with it called Metal Future. I have a co-host with me, John Patrick Robbins, also another rivet head, another metal head like myself. And we want to bring some intelligent conversation and maybe even some entertainment and a little humor to metal. It's having a resurgence, especially in Europe. And I'm excited to talk about it. Hey, John, thank you very much for being with me. Now, you know, the show's called Metal Future, but I thought that, you know, why not talk a little bit about Metal Past? Just to set the foundation for the show going forward and into the future. So let's talk a bit about where metal came from, the whole heavy metal term, all right? Now, it's thought that heavy metal began around the 1960s and the early 70s. And at the time, they were calling bands like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, and Jimi Hendrix. They were calling those people heavy metal. None of those people called themselves heavy metal, by the way, but that's what they were called for a period of time. Okay, the term itself wasn't even commonly used by these people, but it did get coined by, and that's how it became a regular common household word, by William Burroughs for his 1962 novel, The Soft Machine. He came up with the term heavy metal, okay? But
hi, always awesome to hear, Mark.
Even though they were called that, in truth, they really wasn't. I mean, if you listen to Black Sabbath, quite frankly, it probably sounds more like doom metal than it does heavy metal, you know? Because it doesn't really have the same kind of blazing guitars. Mm-hmm. It's more slow and scary sounding and monotonous. And of course, Led Zeppelin, that's just straight ahead rock and blues type stuff. You know, so I never know why they ever called it. Yeah, I never know why they called that heavy metal. But back then, that was some of the heavier music out there. And I guess if you were to compare Led Zeppelin with like the Beatles, I mean, hell, I guess you would say Led Zeppelin would be heavy metal. You know what I mean? Because no one ever accused the Beatles of being a metal, ever.
Mm. Yep. Mm.
Now, I don't know if you heard a lot of this Iron Butterfly, but they're probably one of the few bands that was called heavy metal that it sounded like they were actually trying to be heavy metal. They're probably one of the very few.
Yeah, definitely hard rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would definitely not. I'm a huge fan of Black Sabbath. I think they were definitely more innovators in that work. Whereas Led Zeppelin was definitely a blues influenced, really heavily blues influenced band, and definitely hard rock.
So they're all going to be in here, okay? Now the first category would be speed metal, okay, and the first band to be called speed metal band.
Was a definitely early record that had a lot of heaviness, and of course there's a lot of bands that would later get influences on guys that would be doing thrash ones, like MC5, who were definitely ahead of their time, and they were another band that was just really way ahead of its time, and full bore, too, and I really like that first record they did.
Considered the first thrash band, it was a British band called Venom. They were also considered a little bit of a black metal band too, but thrash is pretty much the they're considered to be the first thrash metal. Yeah, I mean, big old pentagram in front of your album cover. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely not a Catholic choir, no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. Next category here, power metal.
Yeah.
Man o' War is credited with starting power metal in the early 80s. So, and they're still around, actually, even though they're like 98 years old, you know? He's like, hold on, I got to get a prostate operation and I'll do a concert next week. Bye. You know? All right. Black metal. Now, black metal, Celtic Frost formed in the early 80s, and they are considered to be the first black metal band. Those are some big, weird dudes.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. You think?
Next category we got here is death metal. Now, ironically, the first metal
band. Yeah, and you get to say a lot of those bands also influenced by... Way before that, when my favorite band, Motorhead, that was really kind of really influenced upon a lot of those guys. So,
and I'm making a death metal label, okay? So that's what they did. All right, 1983. All right, next one here, doom metal.
Yep.
Okay. Pagan Altar was a band from the England in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And their credit would be in the first.
They're still doing it.
The doom metal label itself actually got really big finally with Sweden's Candlemass. Yeah. They really pulled it out there, made it something international. I love those guys, by the way. All right, symphonic metal. That began in the 90s with a band called Therion from Sweden. What the hell's up with Sweden? They invent everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Killer record, though. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, they're considered a pioneer in the genre. If you haven't been to Sweden before, you get out the airport, and it looks like they killed every ugly person that ever existed in Sweden, because everybody, men and women, look like models. So it's quite possibly that they're so bored with themselves, they got to do music stuff, because they're like, it's just another model, whatever. So you have to wonder.
Yeah.
All right, gothic metal. It was started in the early 90s by a band called Paradise Lost, and it became big with Type O Negative, and MTV made it big. He eventually overdid a few years back, but they were definitely spooky Adams Family, weird dudes, gothic definitely. Progressive metal. Ironically, it began in 1984, and Queenswyke is considered as being the pioneer in this. It continued with Dream Theater, who's also a huge influence many years later. Most of my reviews.
When it comes to metal, there's definitely
the other band as well, Fate's Warning.
Heavy of talent.
Starting to kind of get back up there again, but they've been around a long time. They just have like a different lineup like every 5 minutes, you know. I change my underwear really fast because you know if I don't, Fate's Warning will change their lineup again, you know. So they'll be playing around, and then Viking metal, and this is really interesting, okay. There used to be a black metal Swedish band, God forbid, Swedish again, called Bathory. They were like straight devil worshipping people, I'll tell you that. In 1988, that dude was mysterious, a weird dude. And then he got bored with black metal after about 5 albums, and he said, the hell with it. He wound up creating his own style called Viking metal. It got big
for that band as well.
Called Enslaved from Norway in 1993. The guy from Bathory, very mysterious guy. Most people don't know very much about him at all to this day. And he wound up having a heart defect or something and died in his 30s. But, he was huge in black metal and literally created Viking metal. So how interesting is that? Now, there's a couple of categories over here that I'm not mentioning. And the reason I'm not mentioning them is because they're stupid. Glam metal and hair metal, those aren't real categories. That's just some marketing nonsense from some stupid journalists. Instead of like listening to the music, it's just looking at what they look like. It's all superficial stuff. I kind of find the whole terms to be, you know, useless and maybe even disrespectful. Definitely, in many ways, non-descriptive. What kind of band is that? It's a hair metal band. What the hell does that even mean? It doesn't mean nothing. It's so stupid. Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm.
It is. Now you're gonna notice that in these categories that there's some big bands that we all love. They're not in these categories because they're basically just heavy metal bands. Black Sabbath has never really been a real category for them, so they just stay as heavy metal. Dokken, another heavy metal.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that pop metal crap. That's baloney. That guy can, George Lynch, he can play like anybody. Please, he's genius. Motley Crue, that's just simply a heavy metal band, except heavy metal. Scorpions, heavy metal.
Yeah, if you go by that, then every band that had long hair, and it was a marketing thing, and then, you know, most of those bands were, didn't want to ever be called that anyway. There was only very few that would kind of embrace that, and I think we all know who those bands are, but yeah, no, you can't really, I mean, if you go by people with long hair, then, wow, we're going to be... That's going to be a very broad term, and especially in metal, because,
the long air stuff we're going to be looking at and what we're going to do. There are certain distinctions on the genres that help describe what the genre is. Like speed metal, it's obvious. They speed through things. Mm. That's what they do. Every song is super fast tempo, okay? Something like thrash metal, it has a heavier tone to it. It's a little fast, but it's a heavier tone. Power metal is just something that just sort of breaks through, and it's very noisy and loud, and it tends to have a lot of scream and growls from the vocals.
Yeah.
Death metal is really sort of like a speed metal, but it talks about more heavier things in life. Not even though it's dark, it's not the same
Judas
as
Priest
metal.
Definitely falls
death
in that.
Death metal never has anything to do with the occult, where you get something like black metal that's all about the occult.
Yeah.
Devil stuff, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got some funny asides to that, because for all the scrutiny and all the, I find the libel against rock music being devil's music, I mean, very few bands say anything about that at all. Even in black metal, you can listen to some black metal songs and be like, I thought these people were black metal. They didn't see the devil once. Oh, there you go. It's a stupid stereotype. And then you hear somebody like Stryper, which is a heavy metal band that's completely a Christian band. I mean, they have a song called The Hell with the Devil, okay? I counted it, okay? There's 118 that they said the devil word. 118 times, okay? Guess what? Stryper said the word devil more times in one of their songs than all of the history of rock and roll combined. All right?
Yeah.
That's a funny irony, but that's the truth. You get doom metal. It's the kind of Black Sabbath type of the big chords. They're not doing lots of chords. It's a lot of space in between. It tends to be slow. And usually they're talking about, you know, scary subjects, but not scary subjects in the sense of occultic or black metal. If you ever hear... Candle Mass, I mean, they're singing a lot of fun stuff, but, you know, there's a cry from a crypt. Yeah, there's somebody still talking in their grave. That's spooky, but it's not up there with King Diamond talking about upside down crosses and jamming his fist jamming his fist in your eye with his upside down cross, you know. So gothic metal had that weird like Adam's Family, sort of a strange twist, that little kind of entertainment, strange sound to them. That's what those guys were doing. Of course, Viking metal is literally has a Scandinavian sound to it. And it has a big, loud Scandinavian sound.
Yeah.
They're almost always writing about somebody attacking a village. So if you want rape and pillage, then Viking music is definitely for you. Put on some Viking metal and you're good to go on that, no doubt about it. I can't even believe they got a whole term for it, but there's a whole genre on it. I was looking, there's at least like 10 to 12 different bands that still active doing this stuff. So apparently people are into that thing. So, but as much as we're gonna see albums and we're gonna see some reviews and we're gonna talk about some of the stuff now and then, you know. those genres, even though they're interesting and they're important, they don't have as big as a following as your regular heavy metal. I mean, you get the average, you know, except the Scorpions, the Iron Man thing. They're going to have millions and millions of people buying the records and listening to them and talking about them. And, you know, they've had long histories, too.
Yeah, well.
One of the problems with those genres is even though they're distinctive. And
there
they're
you go. It's the soundtrack of whenever you want to go rob a village. Village. Must not sound like Dr. Seuss. Go ahead and put on some Vikings metal.
That's been around for almost 30 years. But there isn't too many of those bands that are still around to this day. I mean, be honest with you. It really isn't. I mean, yeah, Queensryche and Dream Theater and Fate's Warning are still around. Tape Negative is not. The guy died. Candlemass has like 20 different singers now because the other guy keeps leaving. You know, I don't even know if Pagan Altar is around anymore. I know Death is not around. They disbanded. Venom is gone. Man of War is around, but like I said, Man of War in a wheelchair. That's probably about what that is. You know, Venom's not around anymore. Exciter was gone. So you have bands that are in these things. They don't stay long. You know, maybe because it's hard to keep those records going, or maybe it's hard to get onto tours. You know, music industry is severely changed over the years, and we'll definitely talk about that as well too. But let's go on to some of the things that's been going. As you already know, because I joke about it now and then, I don't do it disrespectfully because I'm 54 myself, but these guys are even older than I am, and they're dying like, you know, like flies. Mm. They're having all kinds of illnesses, you know. Scorpions had said they retired not because any of them had any particular medical issue. It's because they just didn't want to be out there having that and dealing with that. Mm. Canceling this and doing that and disappointing people. Going into the studio halfway and can't make it anymore. They're like, can we go out while we still have our health? And we, you know, they're literally, they're all grandfathers.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be serious. So I can't blame them. But you got a lot of people that are literally, I mean, you got Ronnie James Dio dying of stomach cancer. Knight from Crimson Glory, he died of stomach cancer. You got Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden had throat cancer and survived it and went out there and sang again. You know, we just heard about, Megadeth's Dave Mustaine having throat cancer. You know, Lemmy from Motorhead cancer, didn't even have it a few months, and boom, he's gone.
Yeah.
One of the unusual things I always found about metal music is, even when they stop the lifestyle of the drugs and the alcohol, you know, it might still catch up to people, because if they're not spending much time checking on themselves, especially when they're older, I mean, these things come and you're gone. Because you're not, remember, cancer isn't curable, but cancer can be treated and stopped and removed if you give them enough time. If you don't, you know, you're like Ronnie James Dio, I let it go for 5 years and then I go checked up on it. He's got like a couple months and he's gone.
Yeah.
In a cruel, terrible
news on that.
Ironic way, both Bruce Dickinson and Dave Mustaine was able to catch this early only because they're singers.
Yeah,
they got some damn problems. They're gonna know right away.
That was horrible because he was a polarizing figure.
My son's
gonna
be okay. Oh, my leg's all right. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're limping down the stage with a freaking artificial leg. You know. So they're able to do it earlier, but others just don't get themselves checked out, and that becomes real issues. And you've had a number of them that they've had issues where they're not dead, but they can't do music anymore. You got the guitar player from AC/DC. The dude has dementia. He can't even remember how to play half the times. So he's gone out of the situation, unfortunately. As you already know, Townsend's dealing with Parkinson's disease.
That's a thing. It's like if you have to, don't look after yourself. Unfortunately.
You know, so it's becoming a pretty serious thing, and because they're getting older into those years there. You know, we just had Mick Jagger had a heart surgery. Thank God it was something they could fix. He can go out there, but still, the dude is 78. Jesus. Yeah, we forget that. Although they're one of the few bands that can still do a live show where it's worth seeing. You got a lot of bands that I wouldn't even waste my time doing it. It's like, are you kidding me? I just watched you backstage take a high blood pressure medicine, a heart pill, and a diabetes pill, and now I'm going to spend $100 watching you play 2 hours of some songs I could just hear on my freaking CD player. No, I don't think so. That's okay. They do. I know Brian over from the vocals of AC/DC, he had a severe hearing problem.
Yeah, it's the thing, you know, they're legends, but they're not immortals.
He said he's coming back, but
it seems like they are, but they're not.
Because usually when you have hearing damage from the rock music, usually you don't come back. It's just usually too serious. You know, he risks going completely deaf. And I don't know for what. Singing songs that you've been singing for the last 40 years? I think we got it already. Okay, we got Hell's Bells Down and Shook Me All Night Long. We got it, okay? You don't need to do anything else. And God knows they don't need the music and the music money anymore. So I wonder why they put themselves through that.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands still out there really, really getting it done. But it's like anything. You're especially with the vocalists, too. There's a lot of them now that are getting younger vocals. Because, I mean, the vocal cords, you might still be an incredible guitar player. The vocal cords, they do wear out, you know.
No doubt about it. So people have to make that choice. I'm assuming in the end the marketplace will make the choice, because if they're not buying tickets for you, eventually no one's going to offer you a gig, and you'll be done anyway. You know, but you got a shooter out there that can still make it. Bad Company's doing very well. Pearl Rogers still a hell of a vocalist. Aerosmith, they said he's doing very well. He's still singing really good. Just as much as Mick Jagger and the Stones. But there really isn't too many. I mean, you got Rush, they left. They left in high form.
Yeah.
You know, they had that terrible situation where the drummer, Neil Peart,
it is hard to walk away from that, and it's just for pure love of what they do. So,
and Brian is,
phenomenal, and it's a shame. You've seen a lot of people that are having to hang it up, but then again, nothing lasts forever. If it did, it wouldn't be unique.
Once he started getting his personal life back, and I think he wanted to remarry and have another child, he's like, yo, man, my arm's already stiff. My body's really feeling the age from doing all this. Mm-hmm. I got another life, and I don't want to lose that life or be on the tour, you know. And I can imagine all the regrets he might have had from the last life he lost. And he just gave it up, and they went out and retired, and that was it. They're never going to come back. He's got his life, and, you know, they don't need the money, and he's done all. I mean, he's one of the greatest drummers of all time. No one's going to take that away from him. They did. I think that Geddy Lee and the other guy, Alex Lifeson, will eventually do something together, a side project or whatever. I just think they're not done with it yet, but he is. You know, and God bless him. He put his he put his time in, and he's one of the more brilliant ones. Yeah, well, he was the lyricist. A lot of people don't realize that he wrote all the songs. So, that makes him all right. I read an interview about him, and he did talked a lot about reading books and doing writing and sort of like putting together little stories and trying to break them out into the songs. Rush has some of the most interesting intellectual songs out there, so I'm always so happy
they're
a real joy.
They can never say negative about them because they've already made their mark. So
heavy metal, so they always kind of like out there with that. Hard to really describe them. Early on, they were called heavy metal. Later on, I think they're simply just hard rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a notorious character, too, because he's just, if anybody knows, he's the one that really didn't like the spotlight anyway. He liked to be on that stage, and that's exactly. It. He but, didn't really...
They're one of the bands close to my heart. Pink Floyd, as you know, they're out there doing some stuff, but they kind of still...
Well, he is a writer, too. Well, besides just writing lyrics,
participate anymore, because he's on some crazy political slant in 5 minutes about something. You know, but they've always been a very political band, so don't get me wrong. So, I mean, let him do what he wants. Yeah, they just don't like each other, that's all. But, you know, it's not the traditional thing with, you know, it's about money or drugs. They're just not into that sort of stuff. This is really like, I hate you, drop dead, bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, hard rock. Some people put on progressive rock. I mean, you know, they're Rush is Rush. You know, it's one thing about you say that name, everybody knows who the hell they are. You know, so.
No, even the album they came out with after he left, and they had that big song "Learning to Fly." I mean, it's a cool Pink Floyd song, but it doesn't have the same kind of gravity as some of the earlier songs at all.
Well, and they've also not been notoriously where they can't. Where David Gilmour and him, they just don't do. They've really not been able to do business, and of course,
a lot of people feel that way. Yeah, you need.
Yeah,
he's really. I mean, some of his solos are really just fantastic.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, when they went on without Roger, of course, you know, because I mean, David was the replacement for Sid.
You know, the funny thing is,
so that was like he took the band from him to a large degree, and they did really good business. And then, you know, so I think Roger Chantick really couldn't go on without him, and they did, and his solo work did not do as well. As Pink Floyd, though.
Yo, man, why are you doing any interviews? Well, I let Freddie take care of it. I gotta build some crap here in the back. Okay, I'll see you later.
Yeah, it's definitely completely different. Yeah, it was such a unique thing that I think. Yeah, with Roger, they're Pink Floyd to me, and you know, it's kind of a mess, but David Gilmour is a fantastic guitarist.
In there. And then there's that funny musical trivia question. What are the three bands in the world that all have the same name drummer? The drummer is the same name.
Yeah.
And that was Roger Taylor is the drummer of Queen and the drummer of the Culture Club. Okay. And the drummer of Duran Duran.
Oh,
all three of those bands have a drummer.
Well, you can make your own guitar. That's he is awesome, and I think.
Yeah, I
hear. Yeah, he's a craftsman. Once again, that's a band. Even if you may not be a fan, you just say their name, and everybody knows who they are. That's
weird
thing.
Kind of distracted by the fact that they're basically a very interesting band, and they were not doing just a bunch of crap in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to be interesting and unique. But musically, if you listen to them, they're really pretty damn good. Oh, no, I never. Yeah, I just watch them on MTV. How the hell was that? You got to say them now and then. You have to say their name just to get a girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Duran Duran. Phew, I watched them a video this the other day. Yeah.
All right. There you go. You got me there. I was like, I mean, I don't know why, because I was such a big Duran Duran fan, so you never know.
Yeah, they did a great job on that. Ricky Rackman was rocking.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, you know, they became a reality TV, and they saw the money and the value in that. And they were probably right about that, because people.
They were huge. I mean, I grew up with that stuff. Was always on the
Realized that they had to move on as well if they were going to keep on the air.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not knocking them. I'm just. Yeah, I just definitely didn't have any of their albums or anything, but I'm just telling the truth.
That was just the era in time you were going to have, and that was going to be it. It wasn't going to be forever.
Yeah. And I'm convinced that was definitely a thing.
If you move on to those reality shows, MTV probably would be gone already.
Yeah, that's the thing. That was back in the day when the MTV did play music. That's another thing that's completely. You must talk about something that was. I was a big Headbangers Balls fan.
Remember, if you call yourself music television and you're finding
I love that show. And then now you look at MTV and like, what is it? It's not a music channel anymore. It's a. I don't know what it is.
You're going to have less and less of that. You're going to keep playing the same stuff as before. The whole point is to have new stuff. And I think they were just going to crunch with it. You know, the music dying off. Remember, metal, by the end of the 80s, was almost history. You had Warren over there talking about cherry pie. That's why I knew it was the end. I'm like, where the hell's King Diamond at? King Diamond, save me, please.
Yeah, my only argument was change the name of the network because there's nothing to do with music anymore.
Well, look what happened. They had that competitive VH1.
Yeah.
And they did a little stuff for a while. But again, VH1 proved what was going on. People just, they started not caring about videos anymore. They got tired of people wasn't producing them anymore. It wasn't as interesting. And that died off too. So, I mean, and if you look at VH1, they're the same thing as MTV. They have like 20 different types of shows on. They have nothing to do with music most of the times.
Yeah. 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 I think now, you know, if anything's replaced MTV, I still think that there's definitely a market for it, like a YouTube. I think now people go to that for videos, and now kids probably discover more of those bands now from there. You know, they're definitely not getting it from MTV, that's for sure.
Categories. If you think about it, the genre categories of symphonic metal and gothic metal, I mean, they came out of the 90s, so they're still producing new genre, and it, there's a lot of bands in those categories out there. Half of them in Sweden, but hey, that's the way it is. But it's continuing. It still has a life. They're still producing all kinds of stuff. Even videos at times.
They're owned like CMT. They're all owned by the same people, so they have that kind of cohesiveness. That's why they all do the same thing. Because you know it's real easy when you no different when you whatever you run a journal where and you run multiple, of course you're gonna kind of if you decide you're gonna do something and you're running everything, so they're like a conglomerate. So it's completely it's pretty much died out.
That's a foundation for music. That's why they only lasted like 6 or 7 years. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but most of the singers from that whole genre, they all committed suicide. Crazy. So that depressing thing kept going with them. They was for real. They wasn't just singing about it. Horrible.
Yeah, I definitely ain't coming back. So many people hated it. Yeah.
It went up bad, early too. Early and bad, no doubt about it. But I didn't like that music, and glad it's over with for the most part. Don't think it's coming back. Well, you know, you shoot yourself, you're definitely going to hurt the music for them. Because there wasn't too many of those bands in there, but it was enough to be annoying. But metal's still going on. I'm excited to see that. We got some podcasts out there. There's some shows about it.
It was, but that was another thing. With the grunge, you also saw more of a hard rock.
From,
influence. It wasn't, and punk. It wasn't strictly just like a metal thing. But then again, I like a lot of it. But you know, I mean, I was come up during it, so it's like. And you get people like, oh man, it was sad that you saw a lot of those guys that either OD'd or you know, like you were saying, suicide, or you know, I mean, it's just, you know, but it's, I don't know what it was about that, but a lot of those guys went out bad and raw.
But and of course, there's a lot of other sites as well doing very well. So
yep.
I'm excited to see a lot of this stuff come up. I like to review for Yngwie's. pretty much blues instrumental album, that Blue Lightning. That was pretty interesting.
Mm.
Boy, I tell you, whatever the angle he decides to go on, you can always know it's him if you know his work well at all. You hit through it for a moment and go, oh my God, that's Yngwie. I don't know why nobody's not screaming about Vikings in this song, but hey, he's still doing good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I really did too, and I was happy they gave it to us to review. Mm-hmm. We got some more coming up over here as well, so I'm always excited about that. But it just shows you. I mean, if you're given so many things to review, that means there's things that are still being produced. You know, and there's companies still taking a chance on these folks. Briefly, let's remind the audience because a lot of people don't really realize this is that.
Yeah.
The music industry has changed so much that, and this is the thing, that even though it isn't as expensive anymore to record a band, it's still
that was a great change of pace too of that new album he did. Once it's really cool to hear him do something that you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't think the blues influence because he's so classically influenced in the way he plays. So it's like, but it was cool to really hear that change of pace. I really enjoyed that album.
G's for the video. That's 700,000. And by the way, the music industry today operates the same way as it did in the past. That 700,000 wasn't free. They're not doing it on their dime. That comes out of your money, okay? They didn't mind doing that because they knew that was going to sell well. And that did. I think that did like 5 million copies. So that paid for more than everything, okay? So there was still a monetary basis to do albums because you knew that they were going to have certain sales. You knew you were going to do well. And then, of course, the real money since then, back then, and even to now, is all about the touring. That's really where you make your money at, touring. Touring and T-shirts, pretty much the merch, and that's it. You really didn't make the kind of money from albums in the past, unless they gave you an upfront, a bonus upfront, you know, to do it. Like they gave both Metallica and U2 $100 million, and they had to record like 5 albums, because they figured they're gonna make that money back and more. But most bands, you couldn't get that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, they gave Janet Jackson like about $85 million. He had a few bands that did that, but most didn't get that sort of stuff. You know, they had to make it as they went. That's not the case anymore right now. So if you now say, well, Mark, you know, it only costs under $100,000 to record a band, and you could probably do it for even less than that.
Yeah.
And that's a fraction of what it used to cost in the 80s. I go, yeah, that's true, but it's also a fraction of buying the albums. A band comes out, especially if nobody doesn't know them, no matter how much they do on Facebook and everything. I mean, if they sell 15,000 or 20,000 copies, then that's actually considered a lot today. That's still not even enough to pay off half this stuff. They might not be able to afford to even do a video, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely hurts it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they wind up harming the whole industry.
Mm-hmm. And then a big problem there with that is, you know, when people did start file sharing, and you know, all of a sudden now people think you don't have to pay for things, and that really messed up the music business. And people can say what they want, and you can't take something, and I don't really believe in it. You know, I know people are gonna get mad at that, but I don't care. But it's you can't take something and make it free that's for sale, and then expect that to be a great marketing tool. It's not going to work. And then what happened is the record companies could not get money for the record, so they started doing things like 360 deals, where now when a band goes out the road, they want part of the merchandising. Because they've got to try to recoup what they do in marketing, and it's like, you know, it's just, it's bad news written all over it when it comes to this whole, just, you know, oh no, I'm not going to buy things. I mean, I was a DJ, I had to go out and buy my album. So when I would play a gig, I would get tipped what I would make, and I'd go, most of my money went right into these places kids wouldn't know about now. We'd go into record stores, and I would automatically be buying a tons of albums, you know, and I built my collection, and that was a thing people took pride in, and I still do. I still, even though I know people love to stream and everything, I still like to have the album in hand. I'm one of those people. But yeah, so I don't know. It's just bad with file sharing and everything else that, you know, if somebody's trying to make a living in it, you're going to go, and then just because one person says, well, I have it, and I can just share it with everybody. Well, it's cool. You bought it, maybe. But that's just not how things work.
They might not see any money back. So that's sort of what they did to share the cost. Also, what they did was, since they knew some friends in the video part of things, they had a video made themselves. Fuck that, all that, getting all that company to do it. They did themselves, okay? So they got that out there, and they were able to put that out there to help promote the album, okay? Well, they were able to sell they were able to sell some copies of the album. They did well enough with it that they were able to pay back the record company for the studio time, and they even made a few bucks for themselves. But guess what? It took them over a year to get a tour spot. It was that hard. Meanwhile, guess what? You're only making so much money from the album. You got people, they got families, they got bills. They're going to go on to other things, either other bands or other jobs. By the time you're ready for a tour, you don't have a band anymore. That's how rough it is. It so has. Even though it's quicker and less expensive to record anything, the market isn't there anymore. They got to worry about all the safeguards of black marketeering. They got to worry about the file sharing freakazoids stealing everything. You got to worry about the market is so full of stuff that how do you stand out? As you probably already seen, it is virtually impossible to start a band and that you don't already have a Facebook and a website and stuff like that, so that you can start coordinating dates and when they do have a tour. The merch stuff that's out there.
A lot of the marketing, they're gone. You know, there is really TV, so it's like, in a way, on the eye, it's still bad not having these things. But they don't have these things that help market fans. And it's just, you know, a lot of it's relying completely on internet and fans.
If you don't have the stuff, people start getting mad.
Yeah, the music business has completely changed.
So everybody has to have that stuff. So you got to have that stuff. You got to maintain that stuff. So it's just, there's so much work to do into it. In many ways, bands have become like writers. They have to do a lot of stuff. They have to be aware of so many things on the marketing angle, and they got to be involved in it. Although, the funny thing is, the bands don't have the same attitude as writers. They're, what? I have to market? What? I have to interview? I mean, can my book just sell billions? No, I can't, because you're not doing anything about it. The bands tend to have a positive attitude about that, and they're pretty good about that.
So that's true.
I give them lots of credit for that, because that's necessary. I'm just amazed on how difficult it is to get touring. And if you're a symphonic metal band, it's almost impossible, because the very things you're bringing into that music, you can't bring onto the road. Mm-hmm. You can't make that same symphonic sound on the road. So they oftentimes don't even tour at all.
Yeah.
They just put an album out.
No.
So it's just unusual things out there with what they're doing. And it's a long life and a hard life to be out on the touring and stuff. It mm-hmm. really is. It's probably why it's for the young people. I know my life, I couldn't tour if I was I'd be like, hell no. Are you kidding me? I'm on the bus every day. Then I'm in some stupid hotel, which I barely get to be in very much. You got some daytime to yourself, but big deal. You still want to practice, get mm-hmm. warmed up, get ready.
Yeah.
To me, that's just a lot of stuff, boy. I'm telling you. I can see why so many of them want to retire. I can't really blame them. It's just so much to do, and it takes so much of your time and so much out of you. So I really don't blame them. Yeah, it's not always for the better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those two-edged swords, no doubt about it. But it's a strange irony to be in the most democratically sized market for writing and have so many issues still trying to get stuff out there. Because there's so much stuff out there, you got to try to stand out. So, and you have so much freedom, but there's also freedom to fail, freedom to fall on your face, freedom to be unknown. So there's a lot of freedom, right? And freedom has a price just like anything else. That's the same thing with these bands. They got a freedom to do all that stuff, but you can't do the same stuff now.
Yeah, everything's changed in that. I wouldn't say it's always.
I know so many bands.
For the better, but there's pros and cons to everything. Because, like you said, like the Pro Tools thing, now people record really, really well, and they do so just right in their own home. So
maybe they do 10. You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing what people can do. It's amazing the things technology has given us, and the things that it's also seemed to help kill.
They're just, you know, becoming a teacher. They're just so doing so many different jobs. Yeah. They have nothing to do with music because they gotta they can make an ends meet, you know. I don't know if you know George Lynch. You remember George Lynch from Dokken? You know, they come back. They did some dates, but this dude literally has like five different projects he's in. And when they asked him one day, George, why are you in five different projects? He goes, well, that's how I support myself. I can't live on Dokken. And we're only touring a little bit. You know what I mean? So he's got that band. With the dude from King's X in it. They're doing some stuff. The KXM, something like that, I think it's called. And then he's got his own band, Lynch Mob. They're doing some stuff. You know, he's doing a few other projects as well. I mean, so he's like five different projects. And that, by doing all of those things on a regular basis, apparently that gives him enough money to keep going. But I don't know if... Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's probably a good way for him to make some money as well. If you remember, there was an early part when he was actually doing guitar lessons. You know, when a great guitarist is out there doing guitar lessons and selling videos, you
of
know
course.
That dude is not making much money music-wise, because that's why he's doing that, trying to make some kind of money. So that's why, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, and not make fun of anybody. That just shows you how rough that can be. If you want this, you know, to be a profession, boy, you're going to be out there. You know, the cruise is now becoming a big thing. Well, they're getting known.
Yeah.
Oh, they've become, because they're instant money makers. You got a guaranteed crowd coming in. You know what you're going to be doing with that. I heard something really interesting from Dave Mustaine. He goes, I got this throat cancer, and I got a lot of people behind me.
Yeah.
I believe they caught it early. I'm running in treatment. He goes, I'm canceling all my dates. For the rest of the year.
Yeah, he's also such a guy.
For the cruise.
So
we're going on the
he
cruise
does stuff for other people for that on the slot. A lot of people don't know he's on. But
they're afraid
to
cancel that because if you screw the cruises up, they won't invite your ass anymore. Yeah. You know? And that's like bread and butter money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Kiss was doing them for a while too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of bands do those now.
Yeah, I think that's gonna stay for a while. I don't think it's going anywhere mm-hmm. soon, because people are making a living off from it. The cruises are getting filled up, and some of the cases, this is just not a metal band playing just for a bunch of people on the cruise. The whole damn cruise is about metal music, so they know that people are gonna be there. They know when it's sold out. They know what's going on. So it's not like they don't know. You know what they're attracting to. If three bands come on there and the cruise sells out, that's no different than, you know, being in an arena mm-hmm. in a way.
Well, that's another thing. It's really
good music. They get to play.
Yeah, I think that they're a really cool idea. Yeah. You know, well, that you go here, you go on this big floating party out there, and it's. I think they're really unique. I mean, and so many big bands have done them, and it's a unique thing. I mean, and because they are smaller. Yeah, they're big, but they're smaller, and you're getting to kind of go to a really cool event that's, you know, it's one of a kind. So I thought they were really, you know, I think they're really unique. I would do one in a heartbeat. Yeah. Yeah.
It really has, and that's why the fans have to try to educate themselves on what's going on. You know, if they, because I hear them all the time. Why didn't this band come to my town? Well, because that venue didn't invite them. Maybe they don't feel they're a big enough draw. Maybe they couldn't get enough local acts to make the band happen. There's all kinds of legitimate reasons.
I mean, like I said, it's a cool thing, I think.
You know, a lot of times, I think musical fans are like artists. They don't always want to do it really.
Yeah,
they just want to about the fun of the
killer party
band,
and a lot of big bands.
Forget about
it's just it is strange that when you see
behind them,
obviously remember you know, when bands were playing in huge stadiums, and now doing so many different things, and it's just
band directed.
Yeah, music, there's always going to be metal, there's always going to be a music industry of some kind, but it has greatly changed.
You know, we're getting older, and another part of it is because, you know, they have figured out which parts of the country and which states that we should do are going to do the best for us. Because if we're out there, we're older, this is a lot of work to do. I mean, why would we want to play for some place for 20,000 fans if we could do a couple 80,000 fan ones, you know? Just on the money alone, I can understand why they would want to think that way. I mean, it's business. People sometimes forget that. Show business, folks. Not just music business, it's show business. Business is the key there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true as well.
Yeah.
That is true, but I can imagine the expense. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you got to either fly or drive with the bus over there, and the whole damn crew, which you're paying for, and all the equipment, and all setting all that shit up, plus the hotels.
Yeah.
And you're going to play, you know, what, like a 5,000 seat club? How many can you do before you're going to make any kind of money?
Yeah.
It sounds like all the money's going in.
Yeah, you got a lot of those bands also that. Yeah, not a knock against any of them, but of course they want to play the arenas and everything. But in reality, if they go across the country, they're going to be playing clubs, and a lot of them don't want to go back to that. Even though you can really fill a club. To me, there's a lot of good venues that you can go to that really you can fill these smaller places really a lot easier, and they're more practical. But then there are a lot of bands that, you know, and some of that is ego too. They don't want to go step back down. You know, and play these smaller places. I mean, that's how they started, you know. So Yeah.
Well, I just did some
mm-hmm.
fantastic quick math.
Oh yeah,
If you did 5,000 seaters for $50 a ticket, and you have to do 35 of those gigs just to make almost $9 million, that's $9 million that you still got to split with the other two bands, plus your manager, plus the marketing crap, and then of course all the hotel and the expenses.
But yeah,
traveling.
That's why you're seeing so
you're
many big acts now, really big acts that normally wouldn't tour
to
together will do that
I mean,
split thing where they'll go on tour. There's a lot of bands now that are opening that you would never
I
thought
mean,
would be an opening.
They're lucky they're making
but,
$1 million.
They've got to because the business
four,
has changed,
ways.
And
it's and
there. I don't care anybody.
What
so it's probably less
G's?
Money than it
not
was. It was like
money.
A cash cow at one time, and now
that's
it's like it's
a
no. They've got it. They're making the most of it. But then again, it does benefit the fans because you're getting to see now. You can go to a bill and you can see a lot of really top fans out there together.
But there's not too many of them. Aerosmith. Rolling Stones, one of the few bands that you can. They'll go out and make thousands of dollars a ticket easily. I mean, they make hundreds of millions of dollars on the tour because they're just one of those bands everybody wants to see, no matter what age they are. But there aren't too many like that. You could fit on your hands how many bands are like that. Very few.
And food and everything. Yeah.
I think Megadeth, yeah. Yeah.
No. That's why, yeah. And then, of course, but then again, there are some of those bands that can still go out there and play this huge, you look at the, of course,
That's just force of
I mean, I will say that Metallica they stood the test of time. They're still going out there doing, big places. But then again, I mean, look at the one tour they were doing with, the Big Four ones. Was like, that was awesome. You could go see, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth, of course, on the same bill. That was, and that's a draw, and that did big business. So there still is money to be made. It's just it's being done in different ways now. But really the people who benefit is the fans, because now you can get to go see, you're going to see great bands together instead of like, there's going to be one top band and there'll be a bunch of little, bands that are you're probably not going to know. No, it's not that way at all. You could see some really big bands going out there with each other,
I hear it happens more and more. I'd try to find a bottle and throw it at him in his head, lip sync that.
No. I agree. Yeah. Or you're getting the big controversy with a certain band. That I guess you could put more in the hard rock in their day. That's going out there and how long is their farewell tour lasting? Where they're going out and lip syncing? I mean, you're really going to pay hundreds of dollars to go hear somebody lip sync? Like, no, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. And these special VIP packages they're offering now, it's just, I don't know. It's not, so, you know, where you,
so many of these
some people are like, they're spending a fortune. And so then again, the ticket, what's another argument, once there's been an argument on other shows, is that even in these VIP packages, well, like, let's say just, I don't know, there's a rough guess, some people are paying close to like $500. You would think the ticket would be included in that. No, not at all. It's completely separate. So that, to me, is craziness. I just don't, you know, you got some bands that would just be glad to be playing a good venue, and the others that are just, they don't care because they're just going out there. Hey, they make all the money they can. That's one band in particular I can think. I think everybody knows who I'm talking about. So, you know, and they, I mean, when you've been clearly, it's clear you're lip syncing. The thing I don't understand, though, if you're lip syncing, is why is it not sounding good? go to at least go play the good stuff.
Well, the equipment for CDs have changed so much. I mean, you got some laptops they sell. They don't even have a disc player anymore, so you can't even listen to something like that. A lot of the cars now, they're so geared for Pandora that they don't even have a CD player in the damn car, you know? And they don't really sell them formally for stereos anymore because people
doing
music in a different way. So you're right. That's probably why vinyl is because, you know, people can get, and you can get one of those players now pretty cheap. They're not as expensive as they used to be.
Yeah, it's not, you know, like I said, they're not immortals, but there are new bands out there. It may not be on the huge level, but it is, everything is still coming back, you know, because you have to look at this, once it's another weird statistic, is that vinyl's outselling CDs. And so there, to me, there's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be the flow, you know, there's going to be always be changes of things. And, you know, what's old is new again, and No, I'm one of those people who does like vinyl and does collect it, so it's, you know, it's in, but I always have, so it's not like this changed. It's something I did, and people just, you know, it's weird, but it's still, what I'm saying is, it's, things are coming back, and there will be new metal bands, because there are, it's already proven, you know, so it's like, there will always be times where things kind of not die out, but they calm down and seem like nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden, because there's an oversaturation in the music business of one particular genre of music, once kind of drives me crazy, because I do love metal and stuff like that. And eventually you're going to see things are, they're turning around, you know, but you know, don't,
festivals are like
there's still some really humorous things, like when you look at the Grammys and stuff like that, when they nominated a rap performer in best hard rock category. I mean, like, come on. That was a
things are not making money. They ain't giving.
They've never known what they're doing, so you can't go by them anyway. It's probably
It's not like that business doesn't work that way. You lose a lot of money, no one's gonna try again.
Exactly. Metallica. It just shown how they've always disrespected this form of music. So it's almost cool to be not included in that stuff. And I think metal's just never going to go away. And it's still, obviously, the festival things are still really, especially if you look overseas, where they're hugely popular. Like, look at those crowds. This music is not going anywhere. They've tried to kill it a million times and they've never been able to do it. So, mm. Oh, yeah.
No doubt. They really don't. I think they understand why it's necessary because they have so much people contact where don't always have much people contact. Musicians
they're still making money and there's still,
you know, people and
there's
fans,
a lot of, there's a lot of great stuff going on and new stuff going on. You just have to look for it. Unfortunately, I would say that about music. You really have to. Used to be, you just flip on a radio, well, look at that. That's completely, that genre's going out too. But you can just flip on a radio when you didn't pay for it and hear tons of great music. Now you've got to either, you know, pay for radio or, you know, you've got to dig for it. The only thing I don't like about it, because I love music. So it's like, yeah, I would like to see things becoming more in the open than they are. Because there are a lot of great metal bands and they pop up all the time. It's just very hard to get out there. But, it, you know, they're doing it. And like you said, musicians are definitely unlike writers. They don't have a hard time getting out there marketing themselves. So.
I know we definitely want to discuss some of our favorite bands and singers and favorite anything. It can be even favorite solo. I mean, there's a lot of those too. But there's so many wonderful things out there. And I've listened to other metal shows before, and oftentimes they spend too much time on the business of stuff and not about the music. And I want to talk about. I don't mind talking about the business stuff because you should know about what's going on. But we definitely want to keep talking about the music because. You know, it's metal future, not money future or business future. So we are talking about metal. We want to stay that way.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise it'll be the stock market report instead of metal future. Yeah. So we want to keep that in mind and have fun with it and just be different, stand out amongst the other ones. And I think we are. I think we're definitely doing something. You don't really have anybody doing even that brief history of metal where you kind of give people some basic categories and how they came about and what's going on with those. So I'm pretty excited about that. Thank God I'm back in good health, and I really appreciate you guys sticking with us, and we're going to continue to go forward and entertain you, have fun, educate you as well, and we're definitely not going to disappoint you. You take care. God bless. John, thank you very much for joining us as usual. You got it, man. Take care.
Yeah, it's not the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, thank you. Always an honor to be on, Mark. All right. Take care.
Don't forget to follow the show, leave your comments, and click over to our site, metal-future.com, for the latest metal album reviews.